Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know what's waiting on me in the future. I just don't know. I don't know what I'll be doing 10 years from now. I just don't know. But I believe that I'll be singing or teaching God's holy word. Oh, it's in my heart. Dark and weary, I can't hardly find my way. Sometimes my burdens get so heavy that I can't stop having sleepless nights and lonely days. But I believe if I keep holding on, God is gonna comfort me and keep me strong. Cause it's in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Yes, it is.
Serve the Lord.
It's way down on the inside.
It's in my heart.
Oh, Lord.
Serve the Lord.
God planted His love.
It's in my heart.
Yes, it is.
Serve the Lord.
He put it down in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Come on, baby. Listen.
Lord.
Now, I've been singing for a long, long time. I'm not gonna give up. Said I got a made up mind, yeah. I've been lied on, mistreated by my so-called friends. But if I had another chance, I'd do it all again. It's in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Oh yeah.
It's in my heart.
Got it down in my heart. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute.
It's in my heart.
Father.
It's in my heart.
Father.
It's in my heart.
I just want you to know I'm not doing this for shape, form, or fashion. I just want you to know it's down in my heart. The reason I'm here tonight, cause it's in my heart. And I want you to know, I want you to know, mama and daddy, when I was a little boy, mama and daddy raised us up in the church. They didn't send us to Texas, they took us to church. Can I get a witness out there? And if we got to the church house and act like we didn't want to go in, mama would catch me in the collar and she'd drug. Mama and daddy drug us to church house. I wish I had a witness out there and just planted it in my heart. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh, Lord. It's in my heart. Many times we didn't get paid, y'all, but I kept on singing anyway because I had it in my heart. Can I get a one witness? Can I get a one witness? Deep down in my heart, yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, well,
wait a minute, I'm not through yet. Y'all act like y'all don't know what we're doing up here. You got it?
It's in my heart. It's in my heart.
Oh, yeah.
It's in my heart.
somebody asked me just the other day, I said, "Harvey, how can you shake a person's hand and you know they don't like you?" I told him, the reason I do it, it's in my heart. I got a phone call not too long ago. Somebody said, "Harvey, how can you leave your family
look out.
And go sing all the time?" I told him, "I love my family.
Ooh, yeah.
I love my family.
Yes, I do.
I love my family.
Oh, my.
But the reason I'm doing it, there's a reason I'm doing it.
There's a reason you're doing it.
'Cause it's in my heart. I got to love my enemies. I got to love my friends. And whenever you see me, I'll be serving the Lord."
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank the Lord for this opportunity. Please give you greetings from Eagle's Wings. Flight Hour, we thank you. I'm Apostle Marcus Dupree and also Prophet Celine Dupree. Amen. And we're getting ready to go forth and take flight tonight, amen, as we get ready to get into the Word of God. Thank God for each and every one of you on the line tonight, amen. We're going to continue tonight in our talk about divine healing, amen. We're going to go a bit deeper tonight, amen, as we get into this process of healing, what it's all about. Let's pray. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We give you praise, honor, and glory. This is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for every ear that's on the line that they shall receive from your Word tonight in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for the mandate of releasing your Word into this in this hour. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord God, for the voice, your voice coming forth through your service in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that we shall be received and even heard in Jesus' name. Thank you right now for the fruit of the Word going forth and coming forth in the great bud and manifestation in Jesus' name, that we would not just be hearers of the Word, but we will be doers of the Word also. And so, Father, we thank you as we put a demand on the anointing tonight. We thank you. We pull on you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your Word in this hour. Lord God, have your way in the name of Jesus. Lord God, move how you desire to move, Lord God. We're ready for you to have your way tonight, Lord God. And so we thank you as we come into your presence in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Thank you for your anointing, your presence right now, for moving the way you desire to move tonight. Let your heart be heard. Let the ears of the church receive. Lord God, let our lives show forth the fruit of change in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord God, we shift now, and Lord God, we thank you as you are speaking to your people. We are ready to receive tonight. We bind any distractions right now in Jesus' name. We take authority over every high thing that exalts itself against your Word. We bring to the submission of Christ. We thank you, Lord. Right now we punish disobedience by our obedience, Lord God, in Christ, in Jesus' name. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, for the releasing of your power and your anointing. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. As we're talking about healing, once again, we're talking about bringing something back to its formal state or its natural state, the beginning place of the original place, restoring that which was lost. In this manner, when we're talking about healing, we're talking about restoring that which would be maybe sick or attacked, you know, as far as, you know, different things that happen in life. But when we actually get into this area of healing, as we're talking about really seeing the body being made whole, your heart being made whole, emotionally being made whole, to bring it back to its former state, to make sound or whole, to restore to health, to cause a undesirable condition to become, to be overcome or mended, troubles that have been forgotten, that they had been healed. Glory to God. And we also listened to Pastor Restore back to the original purity, to the original integrity. So once again, restore is the key word. We're talking about restoring things. So we come tonight talking about restoring, you know, healing. We're talking about how God desires to show himself strong through every area of the Word of God. He wants to get things back to where it needs to be. Let's look at the first scripture. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to see exactly what we're talking about here. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start at verse. Let's go to verse. Verse 9. We're going to start at. Actually, we'll go back to verse 7. And when you pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathens do, for they think not. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking, but not be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. I want to stop right there. That's what I want to do right there. Amen. We want to just to remind you, when God first made the first man, who was perfect, no sin, no flaw, it was an immature version of him, a miniature version of himself. So when we talk about going from the state of Adam used to be in the garden to where he came after the fall, that was a big loss, huge loss. It was a crazy loss. But nevertheless, because of what Christ did, dying for us, let's go to Galatians chapter 3. He was bringing us, you know, so basically we see from where it started. And then after the fall, now we see what we're about to see now, what Christ had to do to redeem that which was lost. Okay. Here's chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 29. Well, actually, yeah, we can go to verse 29. But, okay, and if you be Christ, there therefore Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. See, because of what Christ did, he actually fulfilled the promise of Abraham as far as him being the father, Abraham being the father of many nations. And because of the standard that Abraham made, this actually calls us to be put in a different place of status to where, okay, with man fell because of what Abraham did, that caused us to be in the place to where we're in the place to where he's a father of faith. And because many from his bloodline, because we're in his bloodline now, that caused us to be in a position to receive the promise. So in Christ, what Christ did, it caused us to receive the blessings of Abraham. Verse 14, let's go back up. Let's go to chapter 3, verse 13. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it was written, cursed is every man, everyone that hangeth on the tree. So here it is, we see Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Sickness, sin, death, I mean, all of this was a curse of the law, because after the fall of man, this is where all this stuff came into play. The man was fallen. So Christ has redeemed us by what he did that put us back in right fellowship with God again. Verse 14, that the blessings of Abraham may come on the Gentiles. And, you know, the Gentiles were those anyone outside of the Jewish nation, that they were considered, we are considered Gentiles, heathens, you know. But still, of course, after we connected with Christ, this caused us to be put in the place to where now we are actually walking in, we're in the family of Abraham now. So as we see here, we see where the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, that he might receive the promise through faith. So this puts us in a whole different bracket to where Christ wanted to, he wanted to reconcile the damage that was done and basically put us in a place to be restored back to our original state and walking in divine health. So we see here that, so keeping that in mind, what Christ did for us, basically realign us back with God and connect us back with God the way we need to be connected back to him. Not no longer fallen people, but we're connected with God. Now let's go to 3 John chapter 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may that thou may prosper in being held, even as our soul prospers. So this is the will of God for our lives. His desire is for us to be healed, walk in divine health, wholeness. So it's not, you know, people like to say, well, if it's the Lord's will, I'll be healed. If it's the Lord's will, God wants you to be healed. Now, we have a bunch of crazy sickness and stuff that's in the earth. Listen, people are like, well, you can't be no real God if we have sickness and stuff in the earth. Well, we got to remember something. All these things, sicknesses, sin, all this stuff entered in the earth because of the fall of man. When man fell, that opened the door for sickness, disease, all types of stuff to come in that was not there. Remember, the Garden of Eden was perfect. There was no flaw in there. But when man fell, even man had to get out because that place was perfect. So this is why we have to keep in mind and understand people blaming God for sickness and stuff. Well, we have to remember it was man who made the decision and it's man who in the fallen. So because of that, we're fallen, and he, by him sending Christ to redeem us, to heal us, restore us, all these things happen because of him, you know, for him dying on the cross. He was able to connect us back to be right fellowship with God. Now, with that being said, that means spiritually we were connected back. Now, that doesn't mean that our body won't feel the natural things of this earth or different situations going on. But through our faith, through our connection with God, this is where we begin to bring that which is in the spirit into the natural. And that's where, you know, as we develop our relationship with God or in our walk with God, then we begin to see the manifestation of the divine health and wholeness that God wants us to have. Some of us have been born into some different family situations, but as far as dealing with certain kinds of sicknesses that goes to the family, well, because of the blood of Christ, you are no longer obligated to live under that roof of being caught up with what the family bloodline has. You have a divine, you have a right and inheritance to come out of that. But it's our choice. How bad do you want it? How bad we want to be restored? As far as we see into where if you want it bad enough, you no longer have to function under that, once again, under that umbrella of the law. It's already been done. Christ repositioned you. Now the thing is, you have to retrain your body and your mindset to remember, and not only to remember, but to not follow what you've been used to doing for years. For instance, you've been saved 20 years. Well, you've been unsaved for 20 years, but now you've been saved for 10 years. Well, there's 20 years of reprogramming you have to do. You have to reprogram 20 years that you've been used to doing certain things a certain way. You have to reset your mind to really begin to think, okay, I'm healed by stretch Jesus. I don't have to walk in diabetes anymore. I don't have to walk in the cirrhosis of the liver. I don't have to walk in hepatitis B. You have to remember, you have the power and authority, but it takes work, because you have to retrain yourself to think differently than what you've been used to thinking like. It's very easy to fall into what is common to do, or not fight against what's been placed on you, or what may happen through the bloodline. We have to remember that we have power and authority, and through Christ, we can be healed and restored. So once again, the number to call is 347-945-5416. Press 1 to get in the queue box. 347 845-5416.
What really happens is when we don't take that authority that we've been giving, it's almost like a slap in the face to God, because when Christ died on the cross, that was part of the reward. That was part of a gift. It's almost like someone handing you a gift that you didn't even ask for, someone handing you a gift and you totally reject it. You don't look at it. You don't open it. You don't explore it. You don't experience it. And if we were to do that with an actual gift, it may be the very thing inside that package that we needed to give us our breakthrough or to give us what we need in life. And that's part of what happens when you don't actually go into the Word of God and decide. This is a decision. Someone can give you a gift, but you still have to decide to open it and utilize it. And so when you don't make that decision to say, you know what, this is a gift from God, I'm going to take every advantage of it that I possibly can. When you don't do that, it's like Jesus died on the cross for our sins and for us to be healed of all sickness and disease, and we don't take advantage of it. It's a shameful, hurtful thing to him, because it's something that he gave to us freely. We didn't have to beg for it. He could have said, okay, I'm just going to die and make sure that you don't have to go to hell. I'm going to make sure that your sins are covered. But this is like an added bonus. Not only are your sins are washed away into the sea of forgetfulness and you're able to come to heaven, but while you're here on earth, this is what I want you to enjoy. I want you to have long life. I want you to be free of sickness and disease. I want you to be financially well. I want you to be prosperous in every area of your life. You know, so a gift from God should be utilized. Just like if you were to give, how much more if we would do that for man? Someone gives you a gift freely. If we would do that for man, accept it and receive it and open it to see what it is that the person has given to us, and then go utilize it and enjoy it, how much more should we do for our Heavenly Father, who has given us more than any earthly thing that we could ever have? You know, he's given us life. He's given us life everlasting. He's given us peace and joy and healing. This is not something that you can buy out of the store. I mean, we know that there are countless people and times that there is no doctor cure for certain diseases. But if you come to the Father, he can heal you. This is not something that scientists can even explain. If you, in certain instances, doctors have had to write in their reports, it was a miracle from God or an act of God that this thing has happened, because they have no scientific evidence or proof of why this person is healed of something that's considered in science an incurable disease or an incurable sickness. Doctors can't give you a time frame on why this person's cancer was healed and recovered using the same methods as somebody else, whereas somebody else, they didn't recover or they were never healed of the cancer. So, you know, taking full advantage of what God has given us is so important, and he expects us to. The Lord expects us to stand and walk in faith and in victory and take the scriptures and the word of God that he's given us. He expects us to use it for his glory. He expects us to open that Bible and build our faith on the miracles that we see in the Word of God and the healings that we see in the Word of God. He expects us to hear accounts of him healing others and use it to build our faith, to believe him for healing as well. Amen.
Amen. Well said. Amen. If we look at John chapter 10, we will see John chapter 10, verse 10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy." In other words, he ain't coming to bring nothing good. He coming to steal, kill, and destroy. "I am come that you may have life, that you may have it more abundantly." See, this is the thing that Christ wants us to understand. He come to stop the works of the enemy. He come to destroy the works of the enemy. And the enemy's purpose, his plan, he's mad, he's upset than you, he never will, and point blank is he wants you gone. He don't care about you, because he don't want you to walk in the fullness of life that God has for you, because you walk in the fullness of life that God has for you, his life is upside down. He's in trouble. he is forever tormented by you being divinely held, you know, walking in divine health, walking in your purpose. See, think about it. If you're sick, you can't perform and do the simple things that God wants you to do. Simple as being a light, being an example on the hill, far as, you know, witnessing. You can't, you know, serve the way you desire to serve because of being sick. All these things are trying to, stumbling blocks set in your way to try and stop you from going forth in God. And so we have to remember and have a mindset. That's why when it comes to sickness and disease and different things like that, these strongholds and different matter of spiritual attacks, we can't take it lightly. We have to be aggressive with it because they will be aggressive with us. And their purpose is to seek and destroy. And so our mindset will be to seek it and destroy it before it gets us. We're not even trying to have that. We're going to walk in divine health and have our mind made up to be healed, to be in divine health, and not surrender any ground to the enemy. That's why to tolerate some sickness and diseases, or to tolerate stuff, is a travesty. You know, you can't, don't get comfortable with being sick. Don't get comfortable being a diabetic. Don't be comfortable with, you know, having any kind of disease. Don't get comfortable with that. Fight. Okay, well, glory to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing that back to me. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Let's go to verse 10. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. See, you know, we're saying that we're Christ-like or we're saved, born again believers, but we got to understand the enemy is not going to just let that be. He's not going to let that be like that. You know, he's not going to let it go down like that. No. He's going to bring every resistance he can to try and take you under or to cause you to back down who you're saying that you are. He's going to try everything he can to steal your joy, to kill your hopes and dreams, and ultimately to destroy you. There's nothing nice that the enemy has for us, so that's why we can't, you know, try to cut a deal with the enemy, because he's, you know, he's playing for keeps. So, amen, that's why when it comes on to, we have to be aggressive, because what Christ did, he beat sin and death, that we didn't have to necessarily do the same thing, but we just have to walk in what he's already done. And it takes a decision. You have to choose not to accept those different attacks like that, the sickness, disease. We have to choose not to. That's the mindset of the world. Some people say, well, you know, the doctors say, well, they don't have a cure for it. Well, because they don't have a cure, you accept it. The devil is a lie. You don't have to do that. Stand your ground. Amen. The word of God, there's no name greater than the name of Jesus. And by that being said, that means no matter anything, especially with the names, cancer, sickness, any kind of sickness, disease, they are not incurable to the word of God. The word of God has the final authority. But see, the key is you have to believe this. I can tell you all day, but until you're convinced in your heart, until this has become law in your heart, I'm just speaking words to you. You have to understand and know that the word of God has all power. God, the God that we serve, has all power. And he wants you healed. He don't want you walking around crippled and limited or sick and having a hard time breathing and living. He don't want you, even when it comes down to strongholds. Let's go to Hebrews chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds. So see, some sicknesses that we deal with, some different things that our body is acting out, are actually spiritual matters. That we have to attack it by the spirit in order for us to gain the victory in the flesh. This is why, you know, when it comes down to that, you have to combat from the spiritual side. You can, listen, not saying that you can't take medicine. Yes, do what you're expected to take your medicine, but don't let that be the only medicine you take. God's word is medicine also. But so whenever you begin to take your pill, take 3 or 4 scriptures, 4 or 5 scriptures along. Once you take that pill, go back and take 4 or 5 scriptures and stand and believe God and begin to call yourself healed. amen, and begin to combat what the enemy has sent against you. See, if we know this is, there's nothing wrong with following the instructions that's been given to you by your doctor, but don't let him be the only doctor that you hear from. Don't let him be the final doctor or the only doctor. Amen. Dr. Jesus. Jesus can do whatever he needs to do. He can heal you, restore you, but according to your faith, be it unto you. Okay? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Some things in our lives are strongholds. And we have to know how to combat those things and begin to pull down, you know, wage war against those things. And only in as we're engaged in war, then we can really have effective victory over some of these things. You can't bring a knife to a spiritual battle and expect to win, because it's a spiritual battle. So some things we will have to defeat in the spirit in order for us to see the manifestation in the flesh. So, amen. But once again, dealing with this healing, if we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, well, actually, let's go to verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan buffeted me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing, I besought the Lord thrice, that he might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Okay, so even sometimes there may be some things that some people deal with for years, but that still don't mean that you give up on that. You don't stop fighting. You know, you stand and continue to stand, God, some people who may have actually, I've seen it happen to where some people who have been dealing with something, they've been standing and believing God for years, but it's the crazy thing that God been able to use them to bring healing for others. So even in spite of those things that you may be dealing with, may seem to be taking a while, don't give up. Because even in the midst of that, God's power for him to use you is still used. God's grace is sufficient. His power is there. Even though you may be battling with some things in your body, don't give in to say and accept, okay, well, I guess I'm just one of these. No, you don't have to accept that. You continue to fight. And when you end the fight with this thing, you have to know that the God's word is the final decision. You know, you want to make sure you stand your ground, too, because as long as you're standing and fighting, God has something to work with. But the minute you stop fighting, well, God said, well, if you stop fighting, there ain't nothing to do. You have to remember it is your right to fight for your divine health and holiness, that you keep that which God has given to you, because Christ redeemed you from the curse of the law. Remember that. Because he redeemed you from the curse of the law, you don't have to go back to where things used to be. It's a decision that you have to make in your heart to say, you know what, in spite of it all, I'm going to stand. It may take a few years, whatever it may take, a few months, whatever the case may be, I'm going to stand my ground. I'm not going to give up or give in to this thing. Glory to God.
Apostle was talking about a couple minutes ago, he was talking about being aggressive. When you are aggressive with your healing, you really don't allow the enemy to just play on you with words. You don't allow him to attack you first. You start with him. I remember reading about a long time ago about a woman of God that was healed of a particular disease. And what she did was to maintain her healing, one of the things she does is she reads 100 healing scriptures per day, and it helps her to maintain her healing. How aggressive are you going to be with whatever the enemy is trying to attack you with? How aggressive are you going to be with your stance? How aggressive are you be with what you put in you so that you can have the correct results? You know, if the doctor gives us medication and we're dealing with something, most of the time we follow that prescription to a T. We don't miss the time. We set our clocks to make sure we take the medicine on time. We empty the bottles. But we fail to actually utilize the word of God. Because there have been countless times that people have used medications and it doesn't even work. You know, that's one of our prayer when you're prescribed the medication. Pray that even the Lord, that this whatever this prescribed medicine is supposed to do to help cure or help heal, that it'll do that thing. Because sometimes our bodies will reject certain things. And so that's being aggressive with your healing, getting into that word and taking doses of the word of God concerning healing so much per day. That kind of stuff helps to make sure that you're combating against the enemy. And then our words, the words that we speak. You know, I hear people that have certain diseases, they begin because they've dealt with those sicknesses and diseases for so long, they start claiming it as their own. They'll say things like, my arthritis is backing up. My this is acting up today. Always raining so I can feel whatever in my bones right today. My gout is acting up. I mean, come on. Are you claiming something that God has already told you that you're free of? Yes, you are. These are not your things. These are not things that God has given you. He's not blessed you with these things. These are things from the enemy, things that are against the will of God for your life concerning healing in your body. And so, no, I'm not going to claim arthritis as my arthritis. You can say this arthritis that I'm dealing with seems to try to flare up today, but the devil is a liar. By his stripes I'm healed. You can say that. You can say that the gout that's on me right now, I thank you that I'm healed of it and free of it in the name of Jesus. But you don't say that it belongs to you because God has not given you those things. Your life is filled with health and godliness, not sickness and disease. And so we have to, being aggressive is watching even those things that seem insignificant or those things that seem little. You know, like a little tiny worm, it doesn't seem like nothing if you see it on a huge apple. But if you leave that worm on that apple long enough, he'll begin to grow because he's going to feed off of that one apple. And once he destroys that apple, he'll go to the next. And before you know it, you have a bushel of apples that's been destroyed by this one worm that's gotten so fat and so big. And so little things that seem insignificant, just the words we speak, the jokes that we make, you know, because we jokingly talk about sickness and disease, you know. We'll say things like, my back is killing me, girl. My back is killing me today. You know, that is a death-filled word. That's word that's not filled with life. It's not filled with goodness. It's not filled with good things. And so we have to, even in our gesture, be careful about how we speak of healing and sickness, because we don't want to cause anything to come upon us more than we can bear, and cause things to come upon us that would have never been there had we not created a space for it. You know, yeast, when you use yeast, it needs sugar to grow. So if you don't put the right ingredients in, the dough won't rise because it doesn't have anything to feed off of. So there's a lot of times there's nothing there that the enemy can bring into your life because he doesn't have a doorway. But the minute we say the wrong thing, we open a door that allows him to come in. And we have to be careful with the words that we speak. And we have to make sure that when we're being aggressive, we're utilizing the word of God that's been given to us so that we're able to combat the enemy in healing. Amen.
Amen. That number to call is 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. Press 1 to push in the queue box. Amen. So, yes, we have to be aggressive. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. And verse 20 through 22 reads, Proverbs chapter 4, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those, life unto them that find them, and health to all their flesh. The last verse, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. See, this is the word of God, what it is to us, what it brings to us. This is why we have to fight with the word of God, because the word of God brings forth health, strength, healing, restoration. These are words inspired by God, and once by the Holy Spirit is upon you, in you, grab hold of this thing. Now you're talking about bringing this word to pass. Amen. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. This is where we have to be confident in our walk with God. This is a very important part when it comes to healing. Make sure your relationship with God is intact. See, without this, you can't, there's no anchor, there's no connection with God, the way we can actually flow from. When you're connected with God and you know you're connected, you can ask what you will and he will move. You know, you can, you know, you have the right. But if you're not in fellowship with God, you are out of whack. You ain't here, so you say hello to God since 1985. Well, then, you know, you're going to be kind of hard as God to move something, then you're not even connected to him. Make sure your connection is right and fresh with God. And as you walk in here, you know, you're hearing the word of God, that you're receiving his word as well. So it says, this is the confidence that we have in him. And once again, this thing is not of yourself. It's not based off what you can do in yourself. This is strictly according to the word of God. The word of God, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will stand forever. And you got to know that the word of God has power. The word of God has strength. There's no beginning or ending. The word of God is self-sufficient on its own. You don't need everyone's opinion when you got the word of God. I don't, you know, there have been times, you know, there's been times the doctor says something and we's like, well, we don't, you know, we know we don't believe that. And so we would just say, okay, well, thank you for your expertise, but we know where we stand. One woman was so bad, one time we were having our first child, we were standing believing God for, you know, it was a book called, what was the name of the book that, basically it was a young lady, it was a testimony, it was about going through pregnancy without all the symptoms of pregnancy, basically. You know, you can go through, you can basically go through, you know, supernatural childbirth, excuse me. But amen. So we were standing believing God together for that, to where we could have a supernatural childbirth. You don't have to listen. You don't have to be sick over the toilet and all that stuff. You know, you don't have to have all the pressure. You don't have to swell. You don't have to do all of that. You know, but it's according to what you do, what you stand, according to your faith, that you shall receive. Because, you know, once again, you have to begin to take authority and walk in this authority that God has given to you. So anyway, so what happened, so she, the woman, she, we didn't say it, we didn't tell her anything about this, but she began, what different statements my wife would make, and she would, you know, and she would say, well, okay, well, I hear you, but we're not going to go through that over, you know. And she almost said, she got frustrated, she stopped. Are you reading that book, Supernatural Childbirth? She had an attitude with us because she got frustrated because my wife wasn't accepting everything that she was trying to give to her. And excuse me, we weren't accepting. Because, see, that's what we made up in our heart and our mind, is we're going to stand and believe God through this thing. And we're not going to sit there and accept every little thing, every little symptom that people think that we have or should have. We're not going to accept that. And so she got very frustrated. I mean, we didn't say anything, you know, out of the way, but just because of our stance, it irritated her to the point to where she spoke up. And when she spoke up, that showed us right there who we're dealing with. And I think not long after that, we actually didn't deal with her for the rest of the pregnancy. I think we ended up dealing with someone else or whatever. But because, you know, look, you can't try. You do your part, but let God do his part. That was not her control to try, just because we wouldn't accept that. So she got upset. So the enemy is going to cause people to flare up when you begin to stand on the word of God and believe the truth. Well, you got to die for something? Nuh-uh, not in the show, don't. When that time comes, you can say, you know what, Lord, I give it the ghost. And you start breathing. Look, the cross did not kill Jesus. Jesus gave up the ghost. Who was it? Stephen. Those stones didn't kill Jesus. Stephen. Stephen did like Jesus. He gave up the ghost. And he went to sleep. See, we don't have to die from everything. We don't have to die from something. You don't know. That's a lie from the pit of hell. We have to make a declaration and stand on the word of God and know that we have the right and privilege to live as long as God needs us to live. Amen. So, amen. But you have to be bold enough to stand and even speak and to say that, you know, and to make your declaration unto the Lord, before the Lord, as well as for the people in the earth can hear. Amen. Especially when that time comes, you can't be afraid to speak up, speak loud. No sickness. You have no room here. No, I'm walking in divine health and holiness. Sometimes, see, Satan, he's kind of slow. Sometimes you got to remind him. You got to slow him down. You got to remind him. See, from that fall, that was a hard fall he took. He getting amnesia sometimes. We call it amnesia. So you got to remind him. Look here. I'm sorry, but we're not accepting that. That's not here. We're walking in divine health. We're not diabetic. We're not receiving that. And stand on the word. And now listen, the wisdom side of this thing. Not only do that, but also make sure you're not eating everything that's going to cause you to walk in that too. You got to use, there's a spiritual side and there's a practical side. We have to make sure that we're not putting things in our bodies that's going to cause this thing to happen either. You can't speak one thing and start feeding your body another. We have to use wisdom. Now, that's going to look at us like we're crazy. Okay, we're saying one thing with our mouth, sounding a little deep and spiritual, but then we be in the hog mog all night long, and then, we have to be wise. Wisdom. We can't do a bunch of things to our body and expect our body to work like it's supposed to work, and if we know we're working against it, we get kicked out of it. So, amen. So we have to make sure we have to keep this in mind. So this, once again, in verse 14 says, this is the confidence that we have in him. That we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know a healing is part of his will. And verse 15 says, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. See, if we're doing according to the word, we're walking line upon line, precept upon precept, if we're doing our part, then, look, we shall receive the promise. You have to believe that, even if it may take longer than what you think. It may happen faster than you think. We never know. But the fact that matters, as long as it takes, you stand and you continue to wait on God and never back down from the enemy. Don't ever let the enemy think that he's going to have the best. He got the best of you. Amen. You're not a punk Christian. Glory to God. Stand your ground. So let's do this for another scripture here too. Hebrews chapter 12 says, verse 12 says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down in feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it be rather healed. Amen. You have to begin to speak your scriptures over your life. James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, and with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Malachi chapter 3 and 6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. God has not changed his mind according to your health. He has not changed his mind pertaining to your healing, but you walk in a divine health. He ain't changed his mind. So if sickness do come, you fight back because it's not supposed to be there. Isaiah 41 and 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. You got to know who's got your back. God got your back. The word of God has your back. He's got you front and back covered. Deuteronomy 7:15 says, and the Lord will take away from thee all sickness and put on will permit none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee. So you have to hold to the word and know that God did not put that thing on you. God is not going to put it on you. Amen. You born again believer, God, that's who now he can back up, lift his hand off and allow. Same thing he did with Job. He didn't put the sickness on Job. He allowed Job to be tested. He allowed his body to be tried. He allowed him to suffer the sickness he went through. He allowed him. He didn't do it himself. Amen. But he healed him. This goes to Exodus 15 and 26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and will do that which is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will permit none of these diseases upon thee, which I permitted upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jeremiah 30 and 17, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 33:6. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. When you're walking in wholeness, you're walking in peace. We have to keep in mind when we're walking in wholeness, we're walking in peace. You know, everything's intact, nothing broken, nothing missing, and nothing lacking. And truth. It says abundance of peace and truth. Because remember, to walk in facts is by the symptoms, but to walk in truth is by the word of God. We're walking in what God is saying during that time. So, amen. So, you know, we have to begin to hold our ground when it comes down to healing and know that God has promised this for us and that we have a right to walk in it. We can't be so quick to when depression gets tough that we're ready to give up or give in. We have to know that God is backing us up. This is his desire for us. I want to go to one more verse of scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. Listen, God doesn't have an art. He doesn't have an art against you all. He's not a hitman. We got to remember, God is not a hitman. 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you," saith the Lord, "thoughts of peace, not of evil, but to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart." This is what we're talking about. You got to wholeheartedly come after this thing. You got to wholeheartedly believe that you're supposed to be healed. Wholeheartedly believe God can heal you. You got to wholeheartedly believe that you can walk in divine help. You don't have to be sick. If you don't hold on to that, glory to God. I just had one more scripture drop in my spirit, and this is going to be the last one for the night. Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that riseth against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the service of the Lord. Now, this is what your heritage, part of your heritage, right, as a believer. You got to know that, you know what, it's part of my inheritance to walk in divine health. I don't have to sit here and take sickness. I don't have to sit here and take disease. This is not a part of my life. I don't have to live or suffer with this thing. I have a right to walk in wholeness. And you got to fight. And listen, a lot of times, when people are ready to give up, this because they've been fighting for a long time, they've been so long accepting this thing to where now they have no more fight in them. And this is why sometimes they don't want certain people around, because they don't want to be encouraged to fight anymore. They're ready to just give up and die. This is not your portion. You got to know and hold on to the fact that God has called you healed. He's called you healthy and everything. He's redeemed you from the curse of the law. Amen. Is when he goes on to say, the service of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. We have to notice and hold on to that fact that you're supposed to walk in divine health and wholeness. So you got to be ready to hold your ground.
Amen. And what will happen is, if you've never just really aggressively attacked sickness and disease by using the word of God, what will happen is you'll start off by just reading the word, just by faith you're reading it. And after a while, those words will begin to be alive. They'll become revelation to you, and they'll become alive off of the page, and you'll know that your faith has literally kicked in, and you're not just going through the motions, because the word of God will just begin to fester, and it'll be like a fire on the inside of you. And every time you read a scripture on healing, every time you're reading a faith-filled scripture, your body is responding. You'll begin to see and experience the healing power of God within. But you have to start by being in faith and reading those scriptures, by being in faith and going to his word. And as you read, you ask the Lord to reveal to you, what is the scripture saying to you? What does it really mean to you? How is it going to help you and benefit you? And I'm telling you, God is a faithful and he's a just God, and his word is not going to return unto him void. That means when you put that word out there and you stand and you say, Lord, I'm trusting in you only, I'm only going to believe in you, his word is going to come back with an awesome and supernatural result, and that's how your healing journey is going to really begin. So you have to step out on faith first and begin to feed on the word of God. Show God, remind him of his word, and show him that you are serious about this thing. This is not just something you're doing, but you are serious about your stance and your belief in his word concerning healing for your life.
And if I could sum up the word, when I think about divine healing, when I think about being healed, there's one word that comes in my mind. You got to be relentless. You got to be so willing to fight. Look, you have to say what the Hebrew boy said. My God is able to deliver us from your hands, O King. But if he doesn't, not saying that he isn't able, because he's well able to do it, but if he doesn't do it, we know we're not bowing down to the thing. So no matter what, we're not going to bow down to the thing. No matter, listen, even if you breathe your last breath on the way out, look, the fact of the matter is you're not bowing down to this thing, in which we always believe that God will always bring us through, no doubt. But the thing is, the fact of the matter is about it, there's no need to allow the enemy that kind of room in your life to where you accept whatever he dished at you. No, it's not your inherited right to do that. But if you surround yourself, that's why you have to surround yourself with the right people who speak in the right thing as well. We can't hang around people who just accept sickness and just live life and just about to raise or die because they just decide to take everything that the enemy throws at them. No, you can't. That's why you have to be careful who you surround yourself by. A bunch of negative talk would produce nothing but negativity. We have to be mindful of who we're surrounding, because you ever notice that you hear us of people who may be speaking negative, and then in the midst of them speaking negative, you find yourself speaking negative. See how fast it rubs off onto you? So that's why you need to be around faith-speaking people who speak positive about their life and even yours. It's not speaking a bunch of stuff. Man, you could be like just like your daddy. You can just a bunch of, you don't need a bunch of negativity. So that's why you have to guard your heart, guard your gates, your eye gates, ear gates, the mouth gates, all these things, and watch properly what you're allowing to come out and what you're allowing to go in. So glory to God. That's going to be it for tonight. We're going to wrap that part there. Amen. But we're enjoying talking about healing. There's more that we're going to cover. We're going to go into some more areas of healing on next week. But amen. Just trying to set a good foundation about healing and letting you know it is God's will for you to be healed and walk in divine health. He don't want you walking in sickness and disease and being limited to a life like that. He wants you to live and experience him. Glory to God. If there's anyone right now who does not know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, we ask you now to repeat a prayer with us. Father, we thank you right now. Lord God, we surrender our heart to you. We ask you, Lord, to heal, restore us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God, for we surrender. We surrender, Lord God. We thank you that even as we surrender ourselves to you, Lord, we thank you that we freely give ourselves to you in Jesus' name, that we, you know, Lord, we are a sinner, but we receive your grace to be saved now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for restoring us. Lord God, bring us to that place in you that we have to be in Jesus' name. And for those who maybe have fallen away out of fellowship, Lord, to God, be restored back in fellowship. Lord, forgive me for going astray. I thank you for restoring my walk with you. I surrender all. Lord, I receive you not only as my Savior, but my Lord. Restore me back to right fellowship in Jesus' name. Thank you for bringing us to that place in you, Lord God, that we are now connected once again. That which was lost has now been recovered in Jesus' name. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, as we seal in Jesus' name, Lord God, those two places, Lord God, in you, that those who would need to accept you as Lord and Savior, Lord God, thank you for them receiving you, and for those who need to be restored back to right fellowship, thank you for them being restored now in Jesus' name. Thank you for your protection, your covering upon each and every one. Thank you for helping those who are dealing with sickness in their body, for them to be healed, restored, set free, and delivered. Thank you for divine health and wholeness in Jesus' name. It is inherited a right to walk in divine health and wholeness and be healed. And we call them healed now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Thank you for manifesting your healing. Thank you for causing them to stand and walk in divine health and wholeness in Jesus' name that is due unto them. Lord, because it's our inherited right to walk in this place in you. And so, Father, we thank you because, Lord, we know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And, Father, we thank you. We allow you, Lord God, to govern our lives. And we know, we believe in your word right now. We stand firm on your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, that by your stripes we are healed. Now, in Jesus' name we pray. Glory to God. Amen. We thank God for each and every one. You pray that you receive something from the word of God tonight. And we thank God for for everyone else here at Energy Entertainment. We thank God for each and every one of you for making this possible. Amen. Nathan on the spot, we thank God for you and everyone else for your divine connection. So we thank God for each and everyone tonight. Be encouraged. Walk in the word of God. Walk in authority and power. Know your place in the kingdom. Glory to God. Know your place in the kingdom. God bless you all. Amen. Bye-bye.
Worthy. about it sometime. He's worthy. Every now and then, you ought to let your mind go back to just how good God meant to you. Can I get a witness here? Sometimes, when I couldn't see my way, He made a way, and He's so worthy. I tell Him sometimes, you've been my mother when mother was gone. And you